Welcome, everyone, to Season 4 of the Podcast of Casinos USA. Our podcast today, episode number 34, Las Vegas Redux. And your host, once again, is Coach Fav. Here we go. And we're calling it Las Vegas Redux because we're going back. It's coming back. All those things we love about Las Vegas. And you know who's back? Along with our thoughts about Las Vegas, our digital audience. Hey, welcome, guys. We'll need you when we get to casino group therapy in a little bit. Thanks for coming back today. And also coming back is our vintage news short. So here it is, and let's get started. One of the reasons that I called this Redux is because when we go back to Las Vegas, it seems like we also go back to things that we normally do when we're there. You know, I don't want to say same old, but we are going to do some of the things that we normally always do. And maybe we should think about some things that we haven't done. And I think that's where we'll start. One of the things we're going to do this trip that we haven't done before for this purpose is we're going to take our granddaughter on a visit to UNLV. She's in her mind pretty much committed to Arizona State, but she also wants to consider UNLV, so you know that could be her hometown. And so that'd be something different. Now, we've been to UNLV before, so maybe it's kind of really redux because it's like we're going back, but maybe with a little bit of a, you know, a better purpose. And since I'm out UNLV way, we are going to go back to the Pinball Hall of Fame. And, you know, that's just something that we like to do when we're there because you have several hundred pinball machines from, from way back, you know, the 40s, the 50s, and our time, the 60s and 70s, that we can play. And that's just a couple blocks past the entrance to UNLV on East Tropicana. So that's kind of a redux issue. And I understand that we're going to take another look. This will be our second look at the Mirage and the Beatles show Love. And we're doing that because, you know, some of the youngsters, our grandchildren with us, are under the age of 10. And it's really hard to find a show on Las Vegas on the Strip that you can take an entire family to. I think you can think about that. So we're going to, it's our second time to see it, but we'll be going back to see Love at the Mirage. That tribute to the greatest band of all time, the Beatles. Oh, my goodness. I still think about the Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger, and, you know, my God, he's in his mid-70s. I mean, it's just amazing how time goes by. But so, rock on, baby, rock on. And I stayed at the Excalibur one time. We're going back there later in the week. We had a challenge because we're going out Valentine's Day week. And the prices on Valentine's Day and Valentine's evening are, you know, akin to what the prices are on New Year's Eve. So everything's more expensive. So we had to go where we had points that we could use to, you know, make the room. So we're staying on Monday and Tuesday of that week. We're staying at Bally's. And we stayed at Bally's before, but not for a long time. And we stayed at Excalibur, and I'd say years ago. Well, we're going back, and we're going to try the tower there. So we'll see what that's like. But those are the two places, you know, rather than put money into the Wynn or the Bellagio, we thought we'd do it that way. And truthfully, this is really another redux moment. We like to go out the side door at Bally's, walk about, I don't know, probably 100 yards at the most. And you just cross Cobble Lane and there's Alice Island, especially for breakfast because it's so reasonable prices. It's the home of that $7.99 steak special and still considered the best steak special in Las Vegas. But boy, their breakfast, what you get for what you pay is just incredible. So that was one of our reasons for staying at Bally's too, as strange as that seems. Another thing we haven't decided, though, is whether we should rent a car from the airport and just keep it for the entire week, or maybe be more selective and just rent it for a couple days. You know, I probably, my first thought would be to rent it the entire week, but I have to check with the hotels and see if I'm going to be charged parking. You know, if it's $20 a day for overnight parking, I might just be renting a car a couple of days instead of all 5 nights. So I have to check into that yet. I haven't done that yet. But, you know, to many of our listeners who go back to Vegas, and I'm not talking about first-time people, but who go back to Vegas again and again, it seems, just curious to think about, what do you always do, even though you've done it before, like a place that you always go to, a casino you always go to, a restaurant or a meal that you always have in Las Vegas. You know, it's kind of like True Blue. And then do you work in things that you haven't done before? So that's something that we can consider here. Like, we have to work in some things that we haven't done before. But when you've been to Las Vegas as many times, I know something I'm not going to do that I've done before, and that's sit through a timeshare. I just took an oath. I'm not doing that ever again, you know. But I'm sure we'll be approached, because that's what happens when you go to Las Vegas. Somebody's going to, hey, you staying in here a couple nights? So that's how it is. It's the big con, I guess. Another thing that we've done, this is Redux, so you're doing it over again, hoping that it's even better than all those other good times, is we enjoy, we'll be taking some guests up to the top of the Stratosphere to the restaurant for lunch. And we've been there in the evening, too. My wife has taken, relatives up to the top, like she's part owner, of the Stratosphere in the evening. But we do enjoy lunch up there. First of all, lunch is like so much more reasonably priced than it is in the evening. But we'll be taking a group up there. So we're kind of excited about that. But again, that's Redux, and we're just hoping it comes out better. But, you know, we were talking last night about maybe new things and things that we haven't done. And there's been the construction on Fremont Street, the D. I haven't been there before, and I'm going to plan on checking out the D with my wife, Janie, and also a couple new places on the Strip. And we've heard a whole lot about South Point and incredibly good things about South Point. In fact, in my business travels, I've encountered people who have said that they prefer staying at South Point rather than staying on Fremont Street or on the Strip. So I just want to take a look and see. And they're doing a pretty good job marketing-wise, too. So when you think of South Point, you know, you think of Henderson and the communities that are, you know, south of the Strip. The desert kind of shows up pretty quick. But you lose some things, too. You lose the ambience of the neon at night up and down the Strip, or the canopy at Fremont Street and the close proximity on Fremont Street of the casinos. But if that's not important to you, or if you've seen that many times before, maybe you want less of a hassle, and you just want to enjoy the desert sun, and you need some space, and you're much closer to Red Rock, of course, then South Point would seem to make sense to me. But I hear a lot of good things gambling-wise about South Point. And that leads me to this next comment. And, you know, because we've been to Vegas, I mean, I'm not going to make up numbers, but just too many numbers to even recall. Going several times a year, usually. And I think the most we ever went in 1 year was 6 times. And we've driven across the United States several times as well. But, like, gambling-wise, it's not as important as it once was with us, because gambling is legal in Pennsylvania and Maryland and West Virginia, and in New York State you have tribal casinos, Salamanca, Seneca, Allegheny, it's called, the town of Salamanca in New York. Also, there's a casino in Erie. There's also tribal casinos when you get into New York State up around Niagara Falls. So these are things that, you know, we're considering. And I was hit, you know, doggone it, it's always something with cars. We have, we just bought a new Lincoln MKC, as in cat, and, you know, we love it. Needless to say, you know, all-wheel drive vehicle is important to us, but that's a lot of scratch. And so the last thing I needed was to put more money into an automobile, and I had the differential fail, F-A-I-L, in our Sienna van, which is, you know, it's aging. But it's paid for and all, you know how that works. You want to keep it on the road. We're planning on taking it to Mohican Sun in April. It's a beautiful vehicle. It's been well cared for. But the salt around
Well, if you're from the East, you appreciate this. There's so much salt that's poured on the streets, and they do damage your undercarriage. And I had actually the differential covers fail, and I had to replace them. And it's a challenge, you know, not to lose your temper with this, but it's a $3,000 repair. So my discretionary income to take to Las Vegas has been greatly reduced. But I would probably have taken maybe twice as much, but I'm going to say five nights. I'm going to say $1,000. That's $200 a night. And I'm going to go into my first craps game with $1,000 with a loss limit of $350 and take it from there. Now, what I'm hoping happens is that I can, you know, either maintain or grow that $1,000. If I come home with anywhere from $800, if I went five nights and only lost $200, I could live with that. If I come home with $1,200, $1,400, $1,500, that's all the better. But, you know, so instead of a $60 Fremont Street systems player, I'm going to be a $200 a day. And that's all gambling. That's not just craps. But again, I'll start with the bigger bankroll. With craps, I like to go in for that bigger money, also get their attention as far as comps. And because comps are national now for most gaming companies, some of those points will help us here in Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia area for things that we do. So we'll see how that goes. But I probably would have taken, I probably would have taken $2,500, $2,000. But because of that extensive car repair, that kind of leaves me out. And, you know, that's just how it is. And I'm not gonna go into debt on a used car repair, you know, so I just got to pay for it straight out. That's just how it's going to be. All right. Well, we hope you get the idea of redux, you know. When something's redux, it's something you've gone through again and that you've experienced before, but with the anticipation that it's even going to be better or that the experience is even better the second time, third time, fourth time. And I think that's the magic of Las Vegas. You know, when thinking of something allegorical, metaphorical, to compare this redux thing with Las Vegas, boy, you might have a story like this or know of a story like this. High school class reunions are often dangerous in this way because couples that kind of went steady, if that's still cool to say, went together in high school and then split up for whatever reason and, you know, moved on and married someone else. How many stories have you heard of high school reunions where, you know, they kind of hook up again and it leads to a divorce or divorces and wow, you know, there's nothing like that experience of, you know, that's that intense adolescent love and then suddenly as an adult, you know, you're back with that special someone from years ago and this something, you know, it's too hard to resist. And I hope you can, you know, if you're happily married, if you're a married woman or man, but that's what Las Vegas is like. You know, it's, can we wear it out and get jaded? Yeah, maybe, but it hasn't happened yet. And it seems like every time we go back, we kind of rediscover that passion that we've had for it, you know? So it's not like you get tired of it. I agree with you if you're thinking, well, you got to add some new things. And yeah, you're right. You got to add some new things. But there are things that we do there, and it, you know, we're not bored with them. Like, we're going to go back, and even though we've done them before, been there before, it's all the more exciting, even though and also because my daughter lives in Las Vegas, and we're going to be with family there. We're staying on the Strip, of course, not at our home, but we're going to be with family there. And that makes it better because we're seeing some of the things we're seeing, or we're seeing it through the eyes of grandchildren, and that's different. But I just wanted to add this before I get into the next segment. I'm going to talk about craps and strategies with craps. I don't have those issues at a high school reunion because I married my high school sweetheart. yeah, we went together in high school. You know, we had our arguments and fights and all that. But we were definitely in love. And my senior year at Notre Dame, we got married and we spent a year together in South Bend, you know, I finished my academic responsibilities at Notre Dame, and she had already gone through medical assisting, and she was working at a hospital in South Bend. She was the working one. So that was great to spend that time with the love of my life, you know, that last year in college. And because Vietnam was looming, there were a lot of us getting married because, you know, they thought, well, you may not come back. So that was another thing. I had a lot of friends who were getting married. You know, we had like a little compound. We kind of all lived close to one another. We had like a little married compound there down Notre Dame Avenue, a couple of blocks. But those bring back loving memories. And that's what Las Vegas does, brings back loving memories. Okay, we're going to come back after a little island music and take a tour around the craps table and see what we could do, maybe some of our approaches, what they might be with that $1,000 bankroll. All right, we'll be back shortly. Over the long haul, 30% of craps games are decided on the come-out roll, the first roll. Simply, the shooter rolls a 7 or 11 or a craps number of 2, 3, or 12. So keep this in mind. Over the long haul, a 7 makes an appearance once every 6 rolls. So it's not that unusual that a shooter can string 2 or 3 7s together on the come-out roll, because there's more ways to make a 7 with a pair of dice than any other number. Hey, let's go through this. I have $15 on the pass line and $6 on the craps numbers. That's commonly called three-way craps. So $15 on the pass line, if you're a craps player, you know exactly what I said. And I have $2 on the 12, $2 on the 2, and $2 on the 3. $6 three-way craps, $15 pass line. So on the come-out roll of 7, the pass line bettors are collecting. So there's another one. I had to put 15-6 again, and a 7 hits, 2 in a row. So I've won $30, but I lost 12, right? Because I lost the three-way craps bets. But I didn't tell you this before, but after I won the first time with the $7 for a net win of $9, that's $15, subtract $6, I bet $3 on those 9 on hop to 7. So that means, if you're following me, on the second come out roll of 7, I won $13 more. Well, I had $3 on hop to 7s, and there's 3 ways to make the 7 with the roll of dice. You know, one die says 6, one die says 1. Excuse me, one die says 1, so 6-1 makes 7. The second way to make a 7 is one die says 5, one die says 2. 5-2 makes 7. Then, you know what I'm going to say now, the third way to make a 7 is 4-3. One die says 4, one says 3, that's 7. So when you hop to the 7s, whatever 7 comes up was a 5-2. You would lose the dollar bet you had on a 6-1 and a bet on the 4-3. But the bet pays 15-1, so subtracting the $2 from 15, I have a net win of $13. So add that to my winnings. Now, all of a sudden, even though I subtracted my losses from the three-way craps, so I won $18 from the pass line on the first two rolls and another $13 from hop to sevens bet. So what am I doing? I'm going to press the hop bet by $3 again. So now it's a $6 hop bet. So I have $2 on the 6-1, $2 on the 5-2, $2 on the 4-3. I also have my $6 bet on the 2-3-12 and another $15 on the pass line. So it comes out the third time. So that's another $9 from the pass line and a big $26 from hop to sevens. So now I have $66. Think about that. Three sevens on the come-out rolls were rolled three times in a row. And so I lost $18 from three-way crap. But I still won more if I just had been paying the pass line for $15. I'm ahead. I got $66. Those come-out sevens are doing a great job for me.
My friend was playing the pass line,
and he won $45, and he's looking at me.
$15.
And I'm way past halfway to 100.
Wow.
what do I do with the hop, the 7 bet, after it's come out 3 times in a row on 7s, you know, and I was betting it on the 2nd come out roll and the 3rd come out roll. So I hit it twice, and I'm going to keep going. I take it up to $9. So I'm ready for the 4th game to begin. I have $15 on the pass line and $6 on 3-way craps. That's 2, 3, 12. And now my hop bet on the 7 is up to $9. That means there's $3 on the 6-1, $3 on the 5-2, $3 on the 4-3. So that's a net win when it hits of $39, because it's $45 minus $6, the other two 7s that didn't hit. So that's $39. So it comes down to playing this way, $15 on the pass line and $6 on 3-way craps. And then the first time a 7 hits on the come out roll, I'm going to take $3 of the $9 profit and hop to 7s, hoping that it comes back again. You know, 2 in a row, that's not so big, right? Then I do it again, put another $3 on the hop to 7s if it comes out that second time. So 4 7s in a row at 15-6 brings me up to $114. Subtract the $24 from the 3-way craps bets that I lost, and I got a nice pile of money right in front of me. More money than people playing the same amount that I am on the pass line. But what if a point is rolled? I lose my craps numbers bets, 3-way craps, and the hop bets. But they would be $6 and either $3, $6, or $9. And I still have a chance to win if the shooter makes the point. So for me, playing 15-6 makes me the most secure player at the table. I'm talking about on the come-out roll. Is this foolproof? No, not at all. What if people aren't throwing 7s on the come-out? You know, what if they're just rolling point numbers? Hey, if that happens, then I hope the shooter makes the point, because I'm on the pass line, and, you know, with $15, I already lost $6 on 3-way craps, so I need a win, you know? So I'm going to play odds behind the line. But that's big. Now, if a player throws an 11, I'm going to win on the pass line on the come out, but I'm not going to hop any 7s with that. But wait a second. We agree that rolling a few 7s in a row can happen very often. In fact, it almost happens every time I play. You know, at least 2 7s in a row. Sometimes 3, 4, 5. Oh, it gets to be really sweet when that happens. 5, 6. But watch what happens if 3 craps numbers come up in a row. Watch what happens on come out rolls if you're playing 15-6 and 3 craps numbers come out in a roll. And that's consecutively. And that's not going to happen as frequently as consecutive 7s or 3 7s in a row. But when it happens, and it doesn't happen, you don't wait for years for this to happen. This happens most times you play 2, at least 2 in a row. Watch what happens. I'm going to let you think about that, and we'll talk about it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I guess I should also say boys and girls because of the audience cheering. You got to love the digital audience of all ages. All right, what happens when 3 craps numbers in a row come up on the come out rolls and you're playing 15-6? Well, if somebody rolls a 12 and you have $2 on it, that pays $60. Now, you have to take away the $4 from the 2 craps numbers that didn't come up. So if somebody rolled a 12, the 3 didn't come up, obviously, and the 2 didn't come up, obviously, so you subtract those 4. And then you subtract the $15 on the pass line that you lost because the 12 was rolled. So after you take away the pass line losses and the losses of the 2 craps numbers that didn't hit, you have a net win of $41. $60 minus 19 for a net win of 41. 60 minus 19 gives you 41. Of course, you're going to take whenever a 12 or a deuce comes up, a 2, you're going to take $6 of that $41. You're going to press 3-way craps. So now, after you press it, you have $4 on the 12, $4 on the 3, and $4 on the deuce, Snake Eyes. So it's going to come up now the second time consecutively. And playing conservatively, let's make this a 3, which pays 15 to 1. Uh-oh. So 4 times 15 is $60. I said $60. You got to take away the other $8 from the three-way craps numbers that didn't hit. So you have a net win of $37 when a 3 hits the second time. Then you won $37 when you threw an ace deuce, a 3. And so anytime an ace deuce hits, you're going to press everything another dollar. So let's do that. We had $4 on each number, and we're going to press each number another dollar. So now we're going to have
$5 on each craps number.
Your pass line bet is 3 times 5, or $15. So you have $15 on three-way craps. You've just won 2 craps numbers in a row. $41 on the 12, and $37 on the 3. That's a $78 profit. And on that third come-out roll, they throw Snake Eyes, and you have $5 on it. And that pays 30 to 1. And so you just won $150. Now let's see what happens. You have to subtract $10, that's $5 each, from the other two numbers that in three-way craps. So that takes it to 140 minus 115, because you had minus $15 because you had $15 on a pass line. And that takes it to 125. So you've won 125 because of hitting Snake Eyes with $5 on it. You won $37 profit when you hit it on a second roll. And that first roll, where someone threw a 12, $41. So you put the three rolls together, three craps numbers together, and that was a 12, a 3, and then a deuce. You won $203. And the $15 pass line players only, they lost $45. You won $203. How can you beat it? How can you beat it? So your net wins were $125, $37, $41, and you're over $200. Oh, my goodness. And you're just standing there counting your money, and people were just looking at you because they were just playing the pass line. And in three rolls, they lost $45. Good numbers of craps numbers, they lost, but you won over $200. Oh, my. Take away what you've lost. You won $203 in 3 come-out rolls. Oh, on a 15-6 play. 15 on a pass line, starting with $6 on three-way craps. You're going to always press your craps numbers, your three-way craps numbers, $6 on a 12 or $6 on a deuce, and then you'd only press it $3 on a 2-1, you know, ace deuce. So you can see how quickly things add up because the odds are so great. Now, hey, I can play craps in, you know, for an hour 20, and people aren't throwing any kind of craps numbers on the come-out roll. So I just keep losing those $6 on the come-outs. But to me, it's worth it, because if you hit a stretch of 3 craps numbers in a row, or even sometimes, you know, I've gone a lot further than that, and then, you know, it goes back to the 7s on the come-outs, and you're going to still do that Hop the 7 gig I taught you about, hey, you have a chance. Oftentimes, I win more from the come-out rolls of playing for an hour and a half than I do from people making numbers. You know, I agree, when a table's hot and people are rolling numbers and you're, you know, betting odds behind the pass line, there's no better way. But remember, mathematically, 30% of the rolls in craps games end on the come-out roll. The first roll of the game is also the last roll of the game, because someone throws a 7 or an 11, which wins on the pass line, or someone throws a craps number, which, of course, ends that game. The shooter stays the same, but that particular game ends, and you have to load up the pass line again if you're the shooter, or put something on the dome pass if you want to shoot. The shooter has to be on the pass line or the dome pass to get the dice. So that's why you say the game ends, and you have to load up again. But I'm telling you, you know, I don't always win with 15-6. But the most money I've won, and I'm talking about winning thousands, is when I've been playing 15-6. And, you know, it's not like I have a big output. It's not a great bet there. I mean, $15 and $6, if somebody rolls a point number and they don't make it, then I lost the $15 and I lost the $6. And if I was playing odds too, I lost that. But I would have lost that anyway. You know what I mean? If I would have been playing $15 and not playing three-way craps, and I'd have, you know, somebody rolled a six and I put $20 behind it, I would have lost more than if I was just playing 15-6. That's simple to understand. So I really like 15-6. There's no sure thing in craps, but it's been really good to me. And that's why my first craps game in Las Vegas, Valentine's Day week, is going to be 15-6. That's exactly what I'm going to do. So, hey, you know, and if I lose, I told you, I'm going in for a grand. If I lose 350, I'm out. And then the rest of the week, I might do a lot of strong hedging, you know. And I'm not going to talk about that today. But I don't think I'll have to. I just feel like I'm going to be lucky. And in a few days, the Oscar Mayer Wiener truck is coming to our town. And hey, that makes me happy. Because when the Oscar Mayer Wiener truck comes to your town, you can buy a really good hot dog for 25 cents. See? You can call me the comeback kid after that car repair I had to make. Good things are starting to happen again. And I just learned a short while ago that the Oscar Mayer Wiener truck is coming to our town. On Groundhog Day. Woohoo! Woo-wee! So, hey, maybe the groundhog will tell us it's going to be not 6 weeks more in winter, but just like a few weeks. You know, it's going to see its shadow or not. And we're going to get a 25-cent hot dog or two. Wow. So we hope you enjoyed our opening podcast. You can join Casinos USA on Facebook with writing Casinos USA in the group as two words. And you have to request to join. And all we want to see is that you agree that you're not using it for political purposes. No politics in casinos, please. No national politics in casinos. And that you can do it in English. And the reason we say that is you have to post in English on our Facebook because, you know, we're not deep into translation. So we don't know what you're saying. We don't want something dangerous, un-American, etc., to be said, profanity in another language. We don't want that. So we'll knock it out of there unless you post in English. That's one rule. You can also follow us on Twitter at CasinosUSA 2017. That's at CasinosUSA 2017. You can check out our website, www.casinosusa, written as one word, www.casinosusa.bet, B-E-T. And that's our website. And by the way, all our podcasts are archived on our website. And of course, we're on all major outlets and many minor ones as well, our podcast. And we basically come out every 2 weeks. So we'll be calling in from Vegas. Our plan is that we will call in our calls to our own answering service daily from Las Vegas. And in our next podcast, you'll hear our day-by-day report of how things are going. You know what we said, when something's redux, it comes back again, and sometimes it's even better than the first time. And that's the attraction of Las Vegas. It seems as if you can go there, have a great time, and come back the next year and basically do the same things, you know? But you just enjoy them as much as you did before. And that's the magic of Las Vegas. It's just like adolescent love, and we talked about that. All right. Casinos USA, a place where every day is Saturday, where we pursue life, liberty, and enjoy the pursuit of happiness. Thank you. See you in 2 weeks. God bless.
Hey, every day is Saturday.